It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now we check in on pressing issues before the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors, made up of 18 representatives, 9 standing committees, tackling issues like budget and taxation, transportation, health equity. And its Committee of the Whole meets later this month, addressing big policy issues before the full board. Join in, 800-642-1234. Marcilia Nicholson is chairwoman of the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors, was reelected in April, and is serving for a fourth term. Marcilia, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, as we're in the midst of budget season ramping up, what are your top priorities for the next couple of years in office? What are you focused on?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for that question. It's such a great question. And I have made achieving racial equity my number one priority. So in 2019, I sponsored a resolution declaring racism a public health crisis in Milwaukee County. That made us the first local government in the nation to do so. And I'm proud to share that since then, more than 200 other counties and cities across the nation have taken that lead. Our vision here in Milwaukee is to become the healthiest county in the state by achieving racial equity, because we know that a rising tide lifts all boats. Right now, Milwaukee ranks 71 out of 72 counties in health outcomes. And right now in Milwaukee, the zip code you're born in and the color of your skin determines whether you have the tools necessary to thrive either locally in our global economy. And recently, this work took me all across the state, all corners of it, to lead these regional diversity, equity, and inclusion meetings. We did this with county officials from just about every county in Wisconsin, and I learned so much about the issues facing other counties, like the unique forms of diversity they hold. For example, inequities around age, gender, and accessibility were bigger factors and challenges for our rural states. And hopefully they learned from me as well, you know, a younger woman of color from the largest county in the state. We are often divided in some of our messaging, and we really want to make sure that there's always a sense of belonging for everyone in the state of Wisconsin. And in addition to that, I've also made securing Milwaukee County's fiscal future a top priority. We know that without a long-term solution, by 2027, we'll have no local dollars to fund our parks, our bus routes, our arts and culture that people care about, our senior services or youth services that our constituents depend on. We've been working to close a gap of over $340 million over the last decade. And prior to the CARES and ARPA funding we've been receiving, we were contending with annual gaps of around $20 to $30 million. And we have limited tools at our disposal to raise or secure that revenue to fill those gaps. And that leads to service cuts. These are quality of life amenities are, you know, constituents depend on. That makes Milwaukee great. And if we lose that status as being an attractive region to live, to work, and to play, it really could have a devastating impact on our economy and in our region. And that can impact the entire state of Wisconsin. So, again, I'm so happy to be able to have this discussion with you and for your listeners so we can raise awareness around all of this.
And we're going to get to budget gaps in a moment and how you're working through that as a board. But I just want to ask you on the issue of health equity, you know, as National Hispanic Heritage Month kicks off today, in fact, what do you bring from your background and heritage into your county board leadership?
Yeah, absolutely. So just a little bit about me. I grew up in the poor zip code in the state, the 53206 zip code. And, you know, my personal story and narrative that I shared on the road was, you know, I was born of a Puerto Rican mother and a man from Alabama. And they worked very, very hard. And because of the neighborhood I was born in, I had less accessibility to, you know, opportunities that will allow me to thrive. And so having resources at our disposal that allowed me to, you know, level the playing field and get ahead in life really is, you know, an exception and not the rule. You know, the fact that I heard gunshots at night and saw things that no child will see, and 3 miles away in an affluent suburb, you know, my white peer is, you know, growing up in a large house in a fully funded public system and have, you know, beautiful green parks to live in. It means that, you know, we have a lot of work to do, and that my unique perspective and experiences mean that I understand where people are and, you know, opportunities that folks need to get ahead as well.
Let's spend some time here on crime and violence. The Milwaukee Police Department data shows homicides on pace to break a record this year. The police chief, Jeffrey Norman, over the summer publicly voiced frustration that people in the community were using firearms to resolve simple conflicts. His words there. How should local policymakers address the gun violence in Milwaukee?
You know, gun violence is just like, you know, many other challenges throughout Milwaukee and our state, outcomes of, you know, bad policies throughout the years, and also challenges that community face through to, you know, oppression and lack of investment since the beginning of our time. We're now seeing the outcome of trauma. We're seeing the outcome of poverty. We're seeing the outcome of hunger and of hopelessness. And I really believe that as policymakers, we have a unique responsibility to, you know, intentionally craft policy that will not only, right, like, get at the issue at hand today, reduce that gun violence through various efforts, but to also get at the root of our problem, you know, to raise wages, to create family-sustaining jobs, to fund our education system, to invest in our neighborhoods and our communities so that people have, you know, quality amenities that they can access. Expanding broadband internet and so on and so on, so that folks have the basic necessities, the basic tools that they need, and they don't have to revert to such extreme actions because of what they face in life and because of how they feel inside because of that.
I want to pause right here talking about the latest issues facing Milwaukee. We have the chairwoman of the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors, Marcelia Nicholson. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Issues you see facing Milwaukee County, issues you want the Board of Supervisors to prioritize and why, and how you see budget funding through your neighborhood and community. I want to turn to fall referendums. This summer, the board approved two advisory ballot measures for the November election. One, as we are talking about violence, is to ban assault rifles and semi-automatic weapons. Why did the board approve this referendum?
Well, one of the main reasons why the referendum was put on the table is because of the countless mass shootings that we are experiencing as a country and as a nation, which are completely unacceptable because everyone deserves the opportunity to live on Earth, you know, and not have their lives taken away from them. And, you know, this reverberates across the country for us. And, you know, it really is a issue that we need to tackle now, today. We can't afford to wait on this issue. And so having the opportunity to have this question on the ballot and to, you know, pose this question to our constituents, where do you stand on this issue? Hopefully policy outcomes will come from that question, and we can start to, you know, tackle this issue not only in Milwaukee, but at the state legislature, where change absolutely has to be made.
Another measure is asking voters about statewide legalization of recreational marijuana. Do you support the legalization of marijuana statewide?
Well, you know, we had this question on a ballot recently, and I supported it then. I believe this will provide us additional revenue that will, you know, allow the state to become competitive nationally and globally. We'll be able to invest in key areas that we've seen disinvestment in. And additionally, decriminalizing marijuana is important for communities, especially throughout Milwaukee, where we've seen mass incarceration hit communities of color. Where we see Black men jailed at disproportionate rates due to either use of marijuana or, you know, holding with or intent to sell, whereas in other cities and counties across the country, this is a business for people, and it's a business that's heavily predominantly held by, you know, our white peers. And so I do think this is an important issue. It's a racial equity issue. It's a good get at the root of our problems issue, and it's an opportunity to raise, again, much-needed revenue that we can invest in public safety, that we can invest in education, that we can invest in our communities, and so on.
Revenue seems to be a thread of this conversation, and thinking about how the state has its, you know, largest rainy day fund in history, billions of dollars. Milwaukee County has been very vocal in the past about shared revenue. Can you explain your thoughts there on where you see shared revenue going and what it means for Milwaukee County?
Yeah, I mean, you know, shared revenue is important because that's our return on our investment, that we, you know, send billions of dollars to the state of Wisconsin. And we need this money back in return to invest in our state mandated, you know, services. We continue to be impacted by ongoing structural deficits caused by, you know, revenue caps and the increased cost of state mandated services. I mean, the supply chain situation and inflation also impacts the services that people rely on every day. We also saw an increase in youth census. You know, we have, again, historically high inflation, and we have an operating budget gap of $12.6 million estimated for 23, and our capital projects requests are exceeded our funding by $84 million. And so, you know, it's essential that we have, again, the resources necessary to fund not only those state-mandated services, because that's key. If we're giving a mandate to provide a service, at the very minimum, we should get the funding, the complete funding to, you know, provide that service. Mm-hmm. But also, it allows us the opportunity to be creative and innovative in how we move forward. If we're constantly contending with budget gaps, if we're constantly trying to fill a hole, we have no opportunity to build anything above ground, to, you know, reinvest in key areas that we know will make Milwaukee an even greater city to live in. And so getting that shared revenue, figuring out a new structure, or the 1% sales tax that we're, you know, working to accomplish will also be a tool that we can use to fill those gaps so that we can give our residents what they deserve.
Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors Chair Marcelia Nicholson, first elected in 2016, giving us insight into the issues the board takes up. Fielding your questions about the work of a county board, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors will get a presentation of the 2023 recommended budget by the county executive at the end of the month. Board will hold its annual public hearing on the recommended budget on Tuesday, November 1st. Join in on County Board's budget priorities in these times, 800-642-1234. We have Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors Chair Marcelia Nicholson, who stays with us. You know, you say Milwaukee County is managing a revenue crisis that has forced board members to cut about $30 million from the budget each year. Which public services are most at risk?
You know, any service that our community rely on is equally important. But we've seen cuts across the board. We've seen cuts to our youth services, to our aging and disability services, to our transit system, for instance, to our cultural institutions. I mean, if you're keeping up with news in Milwaukee, you'll know that our domes, you know, is in dire need of funding. You know, it really touches every level of service. I mean, our parks are in deferred maintenance and to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. We really need this local sales tax option so that we can raise much needed revenue so that we don't have to depend on raising property taxes, charging higher fees to meet the needs of our constituents.
Let's bring on a call now. Nancy is joining us from Milwaukee County. Nancy, hi. What's on your mind?
Hello. I live in the city of Milwaukee, zip code 53216. And I'm very angry because 2 years ago it was reported in an article in the Milwaukee Journal that the Milwaukee County Museum was spending $1,000 a week to keep open the butterfly room. This at a time when, because of the pandemic, the museum was not even open. I've called many supervisors about that. Supreme Moore was the supervisor in charge of finances at that time. He never even bothered returning a phone call. And now he's in the assembly in Madison. But I do think it's more than think. I mean, it is absolutely imperative that Milwaukee County start looking. If you're still funding at $1,000 a week, keeping open the butterfly room at the public museum, I am going to be very angry.
Nancy, thank you for that call. Marcelio, what can you say there?
Nancy, so great to hear from you. Please feel free to reach out to my office at any time. I also encourage you to tune in on Thursday, September 29th, for the county executive budget presentation to the full board. That's at 9:30 a.m., and you can find that link on our County Legislative Information Center. If you just Google County Legislative Information Center, it'll take you right to our calendar. And then finally, I'll just add that, you know, the public museum is, you know, it's a jewel, it's a gem in our county. It is privately funded as well as publicly funded. So I do want to let you know that while that is a shocking number, you know, Milwaukee County is not responsible for that entire amount. We're also, you know, investing at the front end in a new museum so that we don't have to spend much money on our amenities that are lacking in our museum right now. That's why so many of the costs are high. And again, I just encourage you to reach out to my office and to attend or watch the county executive's hearing, his presentation. And then we'll also have our annual hearing on November 1, where you can come and tell us supervisors in person or virtually what issues you care about, what your priorities are, and how you think we should handle our business. And we fully welcome that and anyone else listening right now as well.
I want to turn to government personnel and workforce. You know, in the Great Resignation, unemployment also being so low, workers have more options. Is the Milwaukee County grappling with people leaving their government jobs?
You know, just like, you know, any other sector, Milwaukee County is, you know, we are seeing vacancies and we are seeing turnover. I will add, though, that Milwaukee County is an amazing place to work, and we're doing some amazing things to make sure that we can recruit and retain our amazing employees and those amazing employees to come. We've just allocated a 2% raise to all employees. We want to make sure that we can contend with inflation. I personally, at the Board of Supervisors, am paying interns for the first time, creating pathways, hiring a more diverse staff, providing more opportunities, breaking barriers for more people to have entry into Milwaukee County government and working in Milwaukee County government. And the county executive is doing such as well all across the board. So, yes, you know, we're seeing, you know, turnover and vacancy just like any other sector. You know, the pandemic was very challenging and the field is competitive. And, you know, like, let's be honest, people are, you know, very tired, and some folks are leaving the workforce. Not because they don't like their jobs, but because they're physically unable at some, you know, in some areas to do so. But again, we at Milwaukee County are dedicated to our workforce. We're working hard to recruit and retain and also celebrate the unique diversity that our staff holds as well.
Talking with Marcelia Nicholson, chair of the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Turning to lead pipes, Milwaukee Public Works says about 40% of water service lines in the city are made of lead. And as we've seen, federal officials, infrastructure law, putting in millions of dollars for lead pipe replacement. Where do lead pipes stand now in Milwaukee?
Lead pipes in Milwaukee are still in need for investment. I'm very thankful for funding allocated by Governor Evers to support our infrastructure. I'm very thankful for our allies in Congress and the U.S. Senate and the president for wanting to invest in this area, knowing that it's so important that, you know, every child, every man and woman has access to clean drinking water. So this still continues to be an issue that our community is concerned about. You know, Milwaukee's infrastructure is large, which means we need a lot of funding to tackle this issue. Our elected officials are, I think, committed across the board, regardless of background, regardless of, you know, political affiliation or standing. We know that everyone, again, deserves clean access to clean water. And so I'm thankful, again, for the investment that's already happening. And then just sharing that we really need our state partners to be, you know, willing to work on this issue as well, so that we can have, you know, long-term approaches to mm-hmm. how we tackle challenges.
We only have a few seconds left, but when County Executive David Crawley presents the 2023 recommended budget, what will be the overriding question on your mind with that presentation?
Just like any other budget address, I want to make sure that we are investing and reinvesting in our services that the community cares about most. Our parks, our transit system, our youth and family services, will there be investment in that area? That's my key question. And as we have the ability to amend the budget, we'll add on, strengthen it, tighten it as our community sees fit.
Marcelia, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Marcelia Nicholson is chair of the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors. Just ahead, we explore how school districts navigate gender identity after a group of Eau Claire parents sue the school district over its guidelines. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.